What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I'm 38% from three. Like, he did all of the things that they wanted him to do. He did them well. Had a lot of steals, played some decent defense, tried to sit down and guard. We know with NBA scouts and NBA front offices, the older you get, the less valuable you become. So even if he replicates the stats that he had this year, next year, and is a year older, is that stock going to be the same? I would say that stock drops. Even if he does, if we did this same song and dance next year and he did the same exact results,
maybe.
I think that stock's a little less because of the age.
Maybe. He'd only be 22.
Understand that. But we know every year passing, you know, NBA front office views that as a year that you're not able to develop. A year lost to a certain extent at the NBA level.
Maybe. I think that has changed in recent years, though, a little bit. I think that has changed a little bit in recent years because you've seen teams that need NBA-ready guys, those are the older players.
Yeah.
So, and if somebody's taking them in the second round, those are probably somebody looking for somebody who could try to contribute now, mm-hmm. especially if you're taking a player like P.J. Haggerty. I think the biggest thing for him is he's got to figure out where he's playing. And that's why another year in college, if you want to play point guard, play point guard. Because you can't just jump into point guard in the NBA. It's not gonna go well.
Right.
It's going to come down to what position, where's his draft position, but ultimately it's going to be how much money can he make now versus in college.
But coming back to college and pigeonholing yourself into a role that you haven't necessarily played in your college career, like, that's a risk. That's a risk if you're thinking about the NBA. If you want to ultimately be a contract player in the NBA, that's a risk. I understand.
Is it more of a risk than going into the NBA without a position?
If your stock's high enough and you're a pick and you're going to be guaranteed at the bottom of the second round.
I have questions about his stock because
right.
Where is it in the second round? Late second round?
I personally think this. I don't think his stock is going to rise if he comes back to college. I just don't.
I don't think it'd get hurt, though. I'm not sure it would get hurt.
I think it's way more likely it gets hurt than it gets helped.
Like, I think the age thing's overrated. I don't think that NBA teams are going to look at it and say.
No, I understand. There are NBA teams that have, like the Grizzlies, have done a good job at taking older players, trying to get them to help. Like, look at Desmond Bane. I understand all that. But I think it's way more likely you hurt your case for the NBA if you go back to college as opposed to helping yourself. I think it's more likely that you drop and your stock goes down.
I think his situation is unique because he doesn't have a position yet. And that the one of the main reasons he would come back to college is to try to figure that out. He still has some things he needs to work on. And if he wants to do that in the G League, all more power to you. But you have an opportunity to make a couple million and do it in college. And I just don't think that draft stock's going to change that much if he came back another year.
And it's nice not being P.J. Haggerty for this decision, too, because – you know, for him, he's got some confidence in what he can do even at the NBA level.
Sure. Offensively, I've got all the confidence.
If I'm being
in the world,
honest about if I was, you know, making the decision for PJ Haggerty not being PJ Haggerty, I'd say go get your $3 million in college for a couple more years.
I think
that's
the
most money you're probably going to make if I'm being realistic with myself.
Yes.
But again, ultimate goal is NBA for these guys. And if this is your best stock, if this is the highest your stock's ever going to be, sometimes guys make that decision. David Jones made that decision. So we'll see what happens with PJ Haggerty. Hour number two is on the way. David Cobb opens us up next. I want to ask him about PJ Haggerty and his stock, considering what he's done at the NBA Draft Combine. That's next. David Cobb is a college basketball, college football writer for CBS Sports. He's also a role player here at 92.9 ESPN on my show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then, of course, on Thursday with Jeffrey Wright and Company on X, David W. Cobb. David, how you doing, brother? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. Hey, just enjoying round two of the PGA Championship from the comfort of my couch. That's how my Friday is going.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Scottie Scheffler and Matt Fitzpatrick saving this leaderboard. That was as we got into the clubhouse yesterday, that was the fakest leaderboard in the history of the PGA Championship. That was so bad. It was ridiculous.
Well, it still doesn't look like a typical, like prototypical major championship leaderboard. But yes, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Scottie Scheffler are both major winners. They're now there in the mix. Max Homa, not a major winner yet, but clearly one of the best 50 players in the world, if not much better than that. He's there. And then, like, you know, hey, look, John Rahm, who's been MIA, it feels like, for a long time because he went to LIV and we just don't see him as much. Like, he's under par. Rory is not dead yet. I think this thing could actually be pretty interesting down the stretch because, yeah, it's like the leader is 8-under, but does anybody expect Johnny Vegas to be there, you know, on Sunday?
That'd be cool. I mean, it's a hell of a name.
It'd be cool. Yes. he's got an interesting backstory being from Venezuela and whatnot. But I think, these first 2 days haven't been the best, but I still think it could be a good weekend.
Yeah, and it's nice and soft out there, isn't it? It's real, damp. Damp out there on the fairways and everything else.
The mud balls seem to be a real issue. Actually, as we speak, they're showing Scotty duck hooking one into a body of
just
water yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Xander did the same thing on the same hole. The conditions. It's weird because just over the Southeast in general, I don't know if you feel this way. I just feel like we've gotten a ton of rain this year.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go and play, Gabe, I lift my ball, I clean and place it, I gussy up the lie, I find the nearest little patch of grass, and then I hit my shot. But obviously, at the PGA Championship, they're not playing preferred lies. You got to play it as it lies. And when Scottie Scheffler is complaining in the media about something, like, you know, it must be bad, because he's one of the more meek and kind of soft-spoken superstars of any sport. And when he's complaining about the muddy balls, then yeah, it's a problem.
All right, now we just got done talking about this, Connor and I, but PJ Haggerty at the NBA Draft Combine, he had 18 points in his first game, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. His second game, 16 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, won both games, although that doesn't really matter in the NBA Draft Combine. He also, in the three-point drill, was 18 for 25. That was first among combine participants. And it looks like a lot of draft analysts have called him a stock riser, and he could potentially be sort of a late second-round pick. I'm going to ask you this question.
Yeah.
Has he made this decision? How much harder has he made this decision for himself, if at all?
I think probably he has made it a lot harder because you're receiving the praise now. And I think for any human with any professional aspirations whatsoever, when you're being praised and lauded and because of your performance and you're performing well, you want to capitalize. You want to take that next step. I think that's only natural for somebody like a PJ Haggerty. My thing with these scrimmages at the combine, though, is that it's largely against college level competition.
Right.
You're not seeing PJ Haggerty out there scrimmaging against Cooper Flagg and Kamal Malawak and Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey and VJ Edgecombe. Their lottery picks aren't playing in these games at the combine. In fact, for the most part, first round picks aren't playing in these games at the combine. So you really got to factor in the level of competition a little bit when you look at, you know, what you're doing in these scrimmages, because he might be a lot more effective against that level of competition. We know he is. I mean, we've seen him play college basketball than he would be against bigger, taller, stronger, faster NBA veterans. And so, like, you take it with a pretty significant grain of salt, I think. But, you know, sure, he's helped the stock, but it's kind of like we talked about the other day. I think what we mean by that when you say he's helped the stock is that he's maybe gone from UDFA to late second round. But is that enough in this era with all the money on the table in college to justify coming out? I don't think so. I really don't think it is. It's been a good experience for him, no doubt, but I don't think it's enough.
Now, here's the question, though, ultimately, because, you know, I would imagine P.J. Haggerty and really all these guys, their ultimate goal is to give themselves the best shot to get a contract in the National Basketball Association. If he were to come back, I genuinely question this. Could he help himself if he came back? Got a year older. I know that age is a little less with the NIL era, and they still draft guys that are 23, 24. I understand all of that. But could he even help himself if he came back to college from an NBA perspective?
Yes. If he went to, I mean, I don't want to say he handicaps or limits himself at Memphis, but I mean, we see, like, it's just like the rest of the country is just now realizing at the NBA Combine what we all realized about P.J. Haggerty all season long, which is that he's a really high caliber player, one of the better guards in college basketball. And so I don't think any of us are stunned to see that he's performing well at the Combine, but it kind of feels like the rest of the country is because they didn't get eyes on him. Same thing with Yaxel Lindeborg. Everybody's like, wow, this Yaxel guy sure is special. And it's like, yeah, I mean, you know, if you're paying attention to the AAC, you know, yeah, like, I mean, and I get it. People don't pay attention to the AAC. Like, we all know that, right? But so my point in saying all that is, like, okay, maybe if he went to NC State, going to be a lot of eyes on NC State this year because of Will Wade. They're going to be playing in a more visible conference. Chances are, I'm willing to bet right now, NC State's going to make the NCAA tournament. So it's like, he could maybe benefit just from having a more visible platform, especially coming off of this combine. And it's almost like, I don't know that he has to add all that much more to his game. Maybe flash a little bit more volume on the 3-point shot and then do it on a bigger platform in a bigger league. And yeah, he could help himself.
Mm-hmm. But you know, ultimately you have to view it through two different lenses. If you're being honest with yourself, you go back to college and you make the money that you probably won't make in the NBA. But if your goal is to get to the NBA, this could be the highest his stock ever is. You just have to weigh those things. All right, now, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add real quick, he's probably helped himself in terms of what he can make in NIL next season by performing so well at the combine. Because let's say there's some programs out there whose boosters are saying, no more, no more, we can't afford any more. But you're a coach who's interested in P.J. Haggerty. You know, you take this combine performance to a booster and say, hey, look, man, I know that you're done spending, but we're going to get this guy. Look what he's doing at the NBA draft combine. I know you didn't respect what he did at Memphis, but come on, look what he's doing against borderline professional competition right now. Anyway, he's probably helped his college valuation with the way he's played this week, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, college football, we have over and unders, regular season win total posted for all the Power Four, Big 12, ACC, Notre Dame, SEC, and Big 10. I wanted to point out the Big 12 because I can't remember a Power Four conference being sort of this up in the air when it comes to the win totals. Their top win total is 8.5 with Arizona State, Kansas State, and Texas Tech. Their bottom is West Virginia with 5. Is that just sort of a function of just, it feels like the Big 12, all those teams, especially on the football field, all sort of in the same exact spot, all very, very similar, not thriving, just surviving.
It is, it's chaos. It's just, it's kind of beautiful though. I mean, it, to me, it's like the Big 12 is everything we used to love about the Pac-12. It's just constant, just chaos. You don't know what's going to happen. You got all this random sort of wacky assortment of brands. And I mean, that's so perfect. People look at Arizona State and are like, oh, they could really build. And like, I mean, I'm a big believer in Kenny Dillingham. I think he's done a great job, but I don't know that I necessarily love them to get back to the playoffs.
I'm with you. I hate to do that. Right? I watched, okay. And I'm not saying that Arizona State's the same thing, okay? But I watched Arizona 2 years ago win, what was it, 9 or 10 games? Everybody expected them to be in the exact same spot with Tet McMillan and Noah Fifita, and they just fell right on their face. It's hard to replicate what they did last year and how they did it. They won a lot of close games.
Yeah, and that's what it is. That's what it is in the Big 12. It's kind of just close game luck, getting calls to go your way, having a specialty. Well, shoot, Arizona State could barely kick a field goal last year. they overcame that. But no, it's just up for grabs. It's up for the taking. And I think the Big 12 is a prime example of why I don't necessarily believe that automatic buys are a necessity in the college football playoff, which might not matter anyway. If we go to 16, there might not be any buys. But I do think it's at least one automatic bid for, you know, we can't go exclusively at large or else the Big 12 might never put a team in the playoff again. You know, so like we got to have at least one guaranteed spot for each power conference champion at minimum, because the Big 12 exists. And there's a world in which you get a bunch of teams that go 9-3, and you know we can't have a Big 12 champion not making a 12, 14, 16, 18 team college football playoff. So if I'm Brett Yormark, I love the parity, I love the competitiveness of my league, but it kind of puts me in a tough situation because you got to lobby really, really hard for access to this college football playoff.
SEC win totals, we have Alabama, Georgia, Texas at 9.5, LSU, Ole Miss, and Tennessee at 8.5. I'm going to ask this question, and I know that 8.5, 9.5, that's a good regular season win total in the Southeastern Conference. I understand that. Are we undervaluing Texas and LSU? And the only reason I ask that is because Texas and LSU have quarterback figured out. And we feel good about their quarterback situations. Garrett Nussmeier with LSU, Arch Manning with Texas. Even though he's relatively unproven, we expect him to play well because he did play well in his limited opportunities last year. Are they being undervalued when you look at these win totals?
No. In fact, Gabe, I'll start with Texas. I'm tempted to take the under because the juice is like, I mean, what is it, plus 150 mm-hmm. roughly, depending on where you look? To go under 9.5 on Texas, and you say, what are you, crazy? Like, they're going to upgrade at quarterback, which I believe. I believe Arch Manning will be an upgrade. But I just think their schedule is so much more difficult in 2025 than it was in 2024. And you say, well, how can that be? It's literally just the inverse of what they did last year. Well, Jeffrey and I were talking about this yesterday, and I was trying to point out that, yes, it's the inverse of what they did last year in terms of everyone who they played on the road, they now play at home and vice versa. But they're at Ohio State to start the season. All right, like, hey, Arch Manning, congrats on the starting job. He go play the defending national champions on the road before the calendar gets to September. Okay, like, that's a really, really tough assignment as opposed to last year. They played Michigan in that spot when Michigan was down and coming off of the coaching change. And then look at the how much different their SEC opponents are. Even though they're the same opponents, you're going to Florida this year. That's a team that is going to be so much better than they were last season. Oklahoma going to be so much better than it was last season. And then Texas A&M, year two now under Mike Elko, they're going to be a lot tougher to deal with for Texas. So I'm not saying I don't think Texas will be great. Texas might be just as good or better than they were last season. I just think the schedule is going to be tougher. And so because of where the juice is on Texas, I would look at taking the under.
Yeah, and then LSU is just one of those things where Brian Kelly has not given you a whole bunch of confidence. So can you realistically, in good faith, pick the over, even though they do have the most returning players, returning quarterback that you already know can play? We'll see. Now, who do you think's the wrench thrower in the SEC? Last year it was sort of South Carolina, A&M to a certain extent. They had two wins, one against Mizzou and then one against LSU. Tennessee, to a certain extent, was a wrench thrower. Who's throwing the wrench in the SEC season this year?
I mean, I would say one, Vandy was last year as well.
Oh, yeah, true.
I think it could be Florida. It kind of pains me to say that. How special is DJ Lagway? One of my biggest questions going into the 2025 season, you know, not just in the SEC, but in all of college football. That's one of my biggest questions. The answer to that question determines not only the trajectory of Florida's season, it's going to determine a lot in the SEC, and it's going to determine Billy Napier's fate. I mean, if I mean, the only reason he's still the coach right now is because of DJ Lagway. And you get that guy, but if you fire the coach who got him, then you risk losing him. And so you keep the coach to keep the player. I mean, that's as simple as you can put it. And they did get better last season, and he was part of that after Graham Mertz got hurt. So, you know, you look at a Florida, and they could just be the team that derails a lot of other teams. I mean, they've got Ole Miss and Tennessee and Texas A&M, LSU. I mean, it's another really tough schedule for Florida, but whereas last year, I mean, they beat Ole Miss, and that was sort of their one big hurrah, but like they could wreak havoc on a number of really good teams in the SEC this year.
And it kind of feels in the SEC, especially sort of in the mid-tier, there's a lot of teams that are going to be actively better. Like, they have better rosters. You know, Jaden Ott and John Matera at Oklahoma, DJ Lagway at Florida, more returning guys. Auburn's done a good job in the portal. South Carolina's done a good job of improving their roster. It feels like you have a lot of teams like that that probably won't have that show and win totals, no?
Something has to give. I mean, I think it could be Missouri. I think it could be Tennessee. I mean, those are two that I have highlighted as teams that could significantly regress. Missouri, kind of the same situation as Texas, where like a schedule that was really easy last year is a little bit tougher this year. Plus, they lose Brady Cook, Luther Burden. I mean, a lot to replace there just with those two. And then with Tennessee, I just am so unimpressed with the replacements that they've gotten for some of the players that they lost, particularly on defense, where you lose Omar Norman Lott, you lose James Pierce Jr. Then on the offensive side of the ball, you lose Brew McCoy from a receiving core that already wasn't very good. Now you've sort of accepted the downgrade that's going to come with all the Nico shenanigans, and Tennessee fans are fine with how that played out. But, you know, I've told you this, but it's worth repeating. I think part of the reason why Josh Heupel was willing to let that play out the way it did was because he kind of knew in the back of his mind and in his heart that this wasn't the team. The 2025 team wasn't the one that's going to get Tennessee to the promised land. And so they're coming off of a college football playoff appearance, and I think they're down up for a little bit of a down year. So Tennessee and Missouri, those are the two that I have looked at as like, all right, something's got to give in this league for the reasons you mentioned, and those are two who could regress a little bit this year.
For sure. Well, David, I appreciate you joining. Happy Friday again, and enjoy your weekend.
All right, brother. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. He's David Cobb at David W. Cobb on X, college basketball, college football writer for CBS Sports, and he's brought to you by Oxbow. And this summer, Oxbow is loaded with fresh gear for guys who don't sit still. First up, Poncho, their best-selling fishing apparel line, built for the wild and made for those who chase adventure. And then, you know, as far as events are concerned, go to shopoxbow.com to check out their event schedule. But I'll tell you about them right now. May 23rd and 24th, they're teaming up with Milwaukee Boot Company for a two-day event selling rugged craftsmanship and boots that don't quit. Then 29th and 30th of May, they'll have the Mizzen and Main Trunk Show, and they'll have giveaways there for you. It'll be very fun, but warm weather staples built for comfort and style. They have a new arrival, Wolf and Shepherd, where athletic performance meets dress shoe polish. Rob Gronkowski wears them. So they're sleek, sharp, comfortable enough to run a 40-yard dash in, and they have sizes up to 15 in Wolf and Shepherd. And then just in time for the Laker Beach, I'm headed to the lake this weekend, so I need to go ahead and dust off the old Yeti. Check out the latest drops from Yeti and go get a cooler from Oxbow. And when you get a cooler from Oxbow, all you have to do is show that you bought it from there. And know what they do? They throw in free ice for life. No one else does that. So go buy a cooler from Oxbow. And instead of going to the gas station to buy all those bags of ice, you can go fill it up for free at 964 June Road. But Oxbow is anchored in Memphis, 964 June Road, in person or online at shopoxbow.com. Now, I want to pick up right where we left off with David. We need to talk about some over and unders that have been published by FanDuel Sportsbook regarding the Power Four conferences. We have SEC, ACC, Big 12, Big 10. That's next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Win totals have been published by FanDuel Sportsbook for all of the Power 4 conferences in college football with the schedules all the way out. Understanding when we're playing, how they're playing, where they're playing. But we have SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and of course, the Big 12. Now, I want to break down a few of these. I want to talk through a couple of them and go over under. Connor, let's get going.
The first team that we have, Alabama, 9.5.
I'm going to go over, believe it or not. I know that sounds insane, but I think they actually the schedule actually broke relatively well for them. Some of the toughest games on their schedule are going to be at home. Now, they're going to have that one game there in week 4 on the road against Georgia that I think ultimately they're going to lose. It's going to be a really hard one to win. But I think they can beat Florida State to start the year, and then you have two more wins, UL Monroe, Wisconsin. I think 3-0 is reasonable. But then after that, you have Tennessee at home, you have LSU at home, you have Oklahoma at home. I think that those could potentially be wins when you're playing in Bryant-Denny Stadium. And also, just speaking on Alabama in a blanket type way, yeah, they're going to have to figure out the quarterback position. Austin Mack was Kalen DeBoer's guy at Washington. He transferred over. Maybe he has some juice. Ty Simpson's been on the verge of being a breakout quarterback for what feels like 5 years now. I know it hasn't been that long, but it feels that way. If they can figure out a way to get better as the season goes along, no matter who the quarterback is on the offensive side, I think their defense can pace the rest of the way. They have a really good defense this year. They still have Keon Sabb in the secondary. Deontay Lawson's one of the best linebackers in the country. LT Overton is one of their defensive ends. They have a bunch of guys up front that have a lot of experience. They're returning a lot of guys on the defensive side of the ball. So I think this is going to be one of the best defenses in the SEC. And as long as the offense can pace their way and figure it out as the season goes along, I think they can get over 9.5 and get to 10 wins. And to be clear about the quarterback position, these are 2 4-star recruits. These are not guys that are devoid of talent. This is not a situation where you're picking from the bottom of the barrel and you're scared that these guys are going to have more interceptions than touchdowns. These guys are both very talented, Ty Simpson and Austin Mack, and I think they can certainly fit into this offense and make it go.
What happens if they hit the under with DeBoer?
Uncomfortable conversations. That's the truth of it. I mean, but we knew this going into it. If you're following Nick Saban, you're following Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. You have to live up to expectations early, or people start to tune out and get frustrated with you and call for your firing. I don't think he'll go under this year. I think he's a tremendous football coach. I mean, just look at his career, whether it was at NAIA D3, at Washington, getting them to a national championship. But if it goes under, Alabama is just one of those programs like Ohio State or Michigan or Georgia, just one of those programs where if you don't win 10 games, Clemson, if you don't win 10 games a year, you're going to hear about it.
Oklahoma 6.5.
This one pains me so bad. It really does. I have to go under just because their schedule is as brutal as possible. I think they're going to be a good team. They're one of those teams, and I think Florida fits into this as well, where they have improved themselves dramatically, and you feel good about what they have. But their schedule just does not shape up in a way that's going to have that reflect in a win-loss record. John Mateer at quarterback, Jaden Nott at running back. That's one of the best duos, the quarterback and running back position, in the entire country, much less the SEC. I think that Brent Venables is good at teaching the defensive side of the ball, so I think they'll be is decently stout. But when you look at their schedule, you have Michigan, week two. Michigan, with Bryce Underwood, trying to improve themselves in their situation. And look how they ended last year. We'll talk about Michigan here in a bit. But as they get into the heart of their SEC schedule, Connor, like, tell me where the wins are. Starting on October 11th, Texas. L on the road against South Carolina. I can't give you a win. I have to give you an L there. Versus Ole Miss at home. I have to give you an L. At Tennessee. At Alabama. Mizzou at home, maybe.
Maybe
you can figure that out, but Mizzou is still a solid team, and they've done a good job under Eli Drinkwitz. Then at home against LSU, I can't give you that. LSU has some returning guys. I really am bullish on them this year. So I have to say under, even though I think that team will be actively better to watch.
Vandy 4.5.
Okay, this is a fun one. Vandy, defensively, they're going to have to figure some things out. But offensively, you have Eli Stowers coming back. They're tight end, caught for 1,000 yards last year. You have Junior Sherrill coming back, your lead wide receiver, who caught that deep ball to put the game away against Alabama last year on the fourth down. Diego Pavia is returning for another year. I think they have three built-in wins.
Right.
Charleston Southern, Georgia State, Utah State. I think you're at three there. I think they can pull two more out. I'm going to go over here. I think they can get Virginia Tech potentially, and then one of these games at home, they could sneak up on somebody. Their home games are LSU, probably not a win, but Mizzou, Auburn, Kentucky. I could see them pulling two of those games out. And obviously they pulled out the Alabama game last year. They played close with Texas. So I think this team's on the up and up with Clark Lee. And I think they get slightly over. I would get them 2-5. I think they will be at 5.
Here is a double-digit one for you. Penn State, 10.5.
I think they'll win 11 games. I'm going to go over. I just don't know who's really going to challenge them in all reality. Obviously, Ohio State, they have that game on the road this year at the beginning of November on the 1st. But Drew Aller, full running back room still there. They've gotten some wide receivers that they didn't have a year ago. They brought in Kyron Hudson from USC. Defensive side of the ball, very good, as always. They're really good in that rough and tumble Big Ten. Deny Dennis Sutton, one of the best defensive ends, edge rushers in the entire country. They just have so many guys returning. And I just look through their entire schedule, and I see one loss, and that's on the road against Ohio State at the beginning of November. They have Oregon at home, Indiana at home, Nebraska at home. The rest of the Big Ten, that's the problem with the Big Ten. It's just so top-heavy. You have those three teams at 10.5, and then the next is Indiana and Michigan at 8.5. I think Penn State will get to 11 this year.
Speaking of Indiana, they're up next. Indiana, 8.5.
Under, without even thinking. You're not going to be able to do what you did last year. You had the easiest schedule in the history of ever. And this year, it's not easy. You will start 3-0. Old Dominion, Kennesaw State, and Indiana State. Sure, that's great. But then you have Illinois, at Iowa, at Oregon, Michigan State, UCLA, at Maryland, at Penn State, Wisconsin, at Purdue. It just does not end the same way that it did a year ago. Now, they've done some decent things. You know, they replaced the quarterback. They got Fernando Mendoza. They've from Cal. They've tried to get some guys in the transfer portal. I think they'll be a solid team. I think they'll be a bowl team. But getting them to 9 wins just doesn't seem realistic this year. Last year, they were so blessed with that schedule, and this year it returned back to the norm.
Staying in the Big Ten, Michigan, 8.5.
I'm going to go over, and I don't even want to look at the schedule because I don't really care. I am bullish on Michigan this year. Bullish. Defensive side of the ball is always going to be taken care of. They do a good job there. But offensively, they have a quarterback, Connor. They have a quarterback. And let's think about how they ended last year without a quarterback. You remember what happened? Beat Ohio State, beat Alabama in a bowl game when Alabama still had Jalen Milroe and all their starters playing. I am bullish on this Michigan team. Do I think they'll be a national championship winner? Not necessarily. But I think they're going to surprise some folks. You just need a quarterback who can throw the ball out of his own shadow and make some plays. Bryce Underwood, I know he's young, but you at least have a guy that you can rely upon. Alex Orgie couldn't do it last year. Davis Warren couldn't do it last year. Those guys aren't Michigan Big Ten level quarterbacks. You have the cream of the crop, five-star number one recruit now. I'm bullish on this Michigan team. I think they get over.
Florida State 7.
Oh God, this is tough.
Did you see what he said about his quarterback?
Yeah, he loves Thomas Castellanos, and I do too. And he brought in Gus Malzahn to run that offense, and I know some people will scoff at that, but Thomas Castellanos and Gus Malzahn makes a whole lot of sense. Really good legs, can get into that read option stuff, RPO stuff. So I think that makes sense. Because when we look at Gus Malzahn when he was at Auburn, best quarterback that he had, most winning he had was with Nick Marshall. And Nick Marshall couldn't throw the ball very well, but he had the legs and he was more dual threat. I think Thomas Castellanos can do some of the same things. I'm going to lean over. I just think they have something to prove this year. If I know anything about Mike Norvell from playing under him, he's going to coach like his hair is on fire this year. He knows how last year went. He knows if he is right around even bowl eligibility this year, they're going to call for him to be fired. He needs to have a pop year of 8-plus wins. That's what he needs. So I'm going to lean over for those reasons.
Last team, Colorado 6.
Let's go ahead. And I know I can't pick a push, and I hate that they didn't round this off with a half or anything, 5.5 or 6.5. I'm going to go over. I think they have the quarterback position figured out. They've fixed the offensive line. Look at Xavier Hill, who started, 25-plus games here at the University of Memphis, played 1,900 snaps. He's going to be on that offensive line. They've improved that. Defensive side of the ball was very sneaky good last year, especially in second halves of games. And they have two quarterbacks to pick from, Caden Salter, Juju Lewis. Juju Lewis, former five-star Caden Salter from Liberty, put up a lot of numbers, has played in some meaningful games. I know they got killed by Oregon a couple of years ago in the New Year's Six Bowl. But I think the quarterback's position's figured out. Obviously, missing Travis Hunter stinks, but he's done a good job, Prime has, at bringing in athletes and skill position players. And I just look at the Big 12, and it's just not strong to me. I mean, what games do you really think would you just immediately off the top say they're going to lose? I mean, this is their in-conference schedule. Houston, BYU, TCU, Iowa State. Maybe you would say they'd lose to Iowa State. Utah, they have to figure some things out. Arizona, they're not that great. West Virginia, not great. Arizona State, you could say, but I don't know how high I am on Arizona State. And then I guess you could say they would lose on the road against Kansas State. But I think most of these in-conference games, they have the ability to win. They have better talent now. And I think they showed last year that they can win games at a high level and be consistent. And I know it's Shador and Travis Hunter out the door, but I think they've replaced all those guys relatively well. All right, now let's go ahead and wrap up our number two coming up next. Small talk is on the way. Stick around. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, Mike Miller, yeah, that Mike Miller was on Pardon My Take with Barstool today, and he was just having a conversation with PFT and Big Cat, and they were talking about Nikola Jokic because Mike Miller had a buyout situation. He ended up on the Denver Nuggets after Jokic was taken in the draft by the Denver Nuggets in the second round, Taco Bell commercial, all that. You remember it. The guys asked Mike Miller about his impression for Jokic the first time he saw him. And this was his rookie year before he had proven anything, before he had scored a point. And this is what Mike Miller had to say about it. I don't know who that fat, ugly player is over there, but he's your best player, and it's not close. And he also went on to say, basically, when the ball hits his hand and everyone gets better, But he said that fat, ugly kid over there, that's your best player. He said he saw it from day one when he was with the Denver Nuggets. And it really is insane. And in a world and a league that is so dominated by athleticism and measurables and, you know, conditioning, it is amazing to see Jokic have this reign for, what, the past 5 years probably as the best player in the National Basketball Association. It is nuts. I know we talk about it. I don't know if we talk about it enough, but to see him do what he does day to day and, you know, his body type and, you know, how fast he moves, the lack of athleticism, it's insane to me how good he is.
Yeah, it was the 2020-21 season where it felt like he truly arrived, and that's the first year that he scored over 25 points per game. And since then, you know, he had 24.5 points per game in 2022-23, but he was showing up on the boards and the assists. He has been in the conversation for best player in the world now for about 5 years, but seriously for about 4 years, where yes, you could really look at Jokic and say, yeah, that guy's probably the best player in the world. He has a ring to go with it. He's pushing one of the best regular season teams we have ever seen to a game seven.
That fat, ugly kid is.
That fat, ugly kid who looks like Shrek and likes horses.
It's
and hits the
bonkers.
Most devastating threes I've ever seen.
It's bonkers.
It's insane. Whenever it's late in the shot clock,
game
he has
five,
the ball,
was there any doubt
like,
on that turnaround?
No.
There was no doubt.
There was no doubt.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, I saw the clock ticking down. It was at like 6, the shot clock. And he's wiggling around trying to find somebody open. Nobody's open. I'm like, he's going to nail this shot. There's just no way. And he flicks it up over his head. No way you can block that shot, nails it. Also, within the Mike Miller interview with Pardon My Take at Barstool, Jason Smith pointed this out from Jason and John. Mike Miller was basically asked about his clients, and we know that it has been reported that Ja Morant is one of them. He did not mention Ja Morant's name when he mentioned clients that were under his watch. Is that weird, or are we just saying it's coincidence? He just omitted him? It would be a weird time to omit him. Ja's releasing a new shoe, and Ja really is one of your most, you know, cherished clients, I'd have to imagine.
Probably just an accidental omission. I don't think there's too much to look into that.
Okay.
Does Ja need him to promote that?
No. I'm not trying to go full conspiracy. That would be a weird omission, though. If somebody asked you who you represent, I feel like Ja Morant would be at the top of mind, no? Right? Like, superstar, one of the highest-selling jerseys. I don't know.
Everybody knows he represents Ja, though.
Yeah, I get it. But when you get asked your list of clients, you feel like that would be top of mind.
Who did he say? Who did he
list?
I think
he brought up Paolo and a couple other guys.
I don't know. I think it's probably just an omission.
Okay. Maybe. I just think it would be weird to omit Ja Morant when somebody's asking about your clients.
I guess so. But also on the spot listing off people. You're going to forget somebody. You can't name everybody you represent.
Yep. I hear you. Now, that'll do it for hour number two. Hour number three is on the way, and we have some NBA playoffs to discuss with my guy Parker Fleming on the other side. Make sure that you stick around 92.9 FM ESPN.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.